saw an article. This was back before Easter, and it was talking about the drastic reduction in the number or the percentage of the population that is actually attending church. And, you know, I went to the Lewis Palau, the Space Coast City Fest event. I was there on Sunday night. I wasn't as involved in that as I would have been last year because of daughter's wedding and all of that sort of stuff. But I did go out there and froze on that Sunday night. And I will tell you what realization that I came to as I was out there watching people come and go and things like that. And that is this, with all of the headlines that I know, we're losing ground. We're losing ground. I've been in Brevard County for 30 years, and you know, there's a lot of churches. There's like 600 churches or something like that. There were hundreds of churches that were involved in that that weekend event and the activities surrounding it. But as far as reaching the people who are coming in, we're losing ground, and we don't need to be abandoning church. If you look around at the devolving society that we have, where society is getting further and further away from biblical values, this is not the time to roll the dice with your forever eternal destiny. Now's the time to really be getting serious about your relationship with God. And so if you don't have a church home, I'm here to personally invite you to come to Merit Assembly of God. We're not the biggest church in town. We're not the smallest church in town. But our size does not reflect our passion. We want to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We also want to be a blessing to our church, but we also want to be a blessing to our community. And we want to be a blessing to you by helping you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And we want to experience the manifestation of grace that God has poured out into your life as well. See, this isn't just a one-way situation. Now, here on the radio, I am limited to one-way communication. This sounds like a monologue. The thing that is missing on the radio is I love to hear people say amen. It's not because I just love the sound of their voice. I like it when they say amen. That means that the truth that God has given me to communicate has been adequately received, and they are saying, so be it. That's what amen means. So be it. God said it, so be it. So it is a way of letting me know that the communication has been successful. So whenever I'm preaching, I'm sharing the word of God. I'm sharing the revelation that God has given to me. I'm letting you have a picture into the grace of God in my life. But church is meant to be interactive. It's not the same as going to a concert where you're just standing around watching performers. We love to have fun. We love to be joyful. But our job is not to entertain. Our responsibility is to make disciples, followers of Jesus. And so if you don't have a church home, get a church home where they preach the Bible and God says, this is the place that I want you to serve. We're going back to Isaiah chapter 1 today. We've talked about seeking justice. Today we're going to pick up in verse number 21. We've already talked about this to some extent last week. So I'm going to read from verse 21, and then I'm going to tell you what just a real quick synopsis of what it means, and then we're going to move forward at verse number 24. It says, "How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them." Let's just stop right there. We just talked about yesterday, seek justice, and now in verse 21, we see that the city used to be full of justice, but its current reality is that God says the faithful city has now become a harlot. A harlot was a person who was not faithful, and they basically went after, they were willing to do whatever to receive the greatest compensation or satisfaction or meet the need that they have in their life as possible. We don't need more spirit of prostitution in America. We need more faithfulness. We need more faithfulness. And I think that if you asked people, that they would probably evaluate themselves greater in the level of faithfulness than maybe what the Word of God does. The Word of God is a mirror. It is supposed to be one of those things that reflects the true reflection of who we are. It gives us an adequate perception of reality. Okay? So it's not like one of those carnival mirrors where you look like you're 8 feet tall, even though you're only 5.5 feet tall. I'm a little taller than that. I'm just not much, but a little bit. Nor is it one of those things that's going to, you're a giant and it's going to make you look like you're only 3 feet tall. It's an accurate mirror. And the Bible says, who can find a faithful person? You know what? If you're a young person that's listening to this, you may not want to find the richest person. You may not want to find the most athletic person. You may not want to find the most beautiful or most handsome person. Nothing wrong with those things if they're coupled or if they are dwelling in a person who is faithful. I know somebody who is married to a person. Let me see if I could describe them. They were uber rich. They were really, really rich. And the person that they were married to was very, very unfaithful. And, you know, you can trust an unfaithful person to always be unfaithful. That is a reality. But if you find a faithful person, keep them. And so we need to all elevate our spiritual walk in the level of faithfulness. So the faithful city was now a place where everybody was operating under a large percentage of the population was basically operating with harlotry. Their services were for sale to the highest bidder. As a result of that, righteousness had moved out, murder had moved in, bribery, rebellion, stealing, all of that had come in, and all as a result, oppression and mistreatment of orphans and widows were right there, and God says, what used to be is no longer. That's why he told them in verse number 16, seek justice. It used to be here. We're not just talking about the good old days. We're talking about the standard that God had set in place. Let's look at verse number 24. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. And I will restore your judges at the first and your counselors at the beginning. After your word, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. So God tells them, he says, when I get done with you, you are going to have a future designation that matches with your past designation. Okay, he said the faithful city in verse number 21 will once again be a faithful city in verse number 26. So God starts off and he says, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. And the covenant people of God said, that sounds wonderful. We can't wait for you to deal with the Assyrians. We can't wait for you to deal with the Babylonians. We can't wait for you to deal with all of these people that keep attacking us. And God, we're grateful that you are going to deal with your enemies. And God said, I will turn my hand against you. But that's not the enemy that we thought you were going to deal with. The Bible says that before we come to faith in Christ, we were at enmity, or we were enemies of God. Not because God positioned himself as our enemy, but we positioned ourselves as hostile towards him. Sin wants to displace God. Sin wants to dislodge God from your memory and create a new standard of righteousness, one based upon feelings or popular opinion, but not based at all on the word of God. And I will tell you that if you ever go down that path, you are always going to find someone more powerful than you, more rich than you, and it will only be a matter of time until everybody gets to be oppressed. So God says, I will turn my hand against you. There's a passage, he says, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. And when I did research on that, it said that God stands in opposition to those people who are not living the way that they should be living. Okay? We quote that verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? But there's that little word there, if. If it's that God does want to be for you, and God is for you, but he's for you not in your current immediate circumstance. He is for you in your long-term eternal circumstance. He wants you repenting of your sins, forgiven of your sins, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and spending eternity with him, and him operating for you with every day empowerment to live a godly and righteous life. So he wants to be for you. But when you are rushing headlong into destruction, the best way that God can manifest that he is for you is by standing in opposition to the destructive path that you are pursuing. I hope you understand that if you were rushing over a cliff, that the most compassionate thing that a person could do would be to obstruct your path to the edge of the cliff so that you don't end up dying an unnecessary death. So God says, I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross. Okay, dross was what devalued a precious metal. Dross was the contaminants that were coalesced in the same general vicinity of the silver or the gold or some other precious metal. And God says, I'm going to refine it. I'm going to purge the dross from your life. And for if you know anything about the process, that means it takes a person who is a master at heating things up to just the right temperature, removing the impurities, and then going through the cycle as many times as necessary until every impurity is removed and you come shining forth as pure gold or pure silver or pure platinum or whatever it might be. Okay? Nothing comes out of the ground in its pure condition. It all comes out with some impurities. A lot of people say, well, I'm not coming to church until I get myself cleaned up. It's a lie from the enemy because you don't clean yourself up like that. It takes a master refiner that says, I love you as you are, but I love you too much to leave you that way. And I'm going to love you through every step of the refining process. He says in verse number 26, I will restore your judges at the first. This is Isaiah chapter 1, if you're just tuning in. I will restore your judges at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. So God says, in order to get back to the faithful community that I covenanted with you for you to be, I'm going to restore people who will make judgments the way that I want judgments made. And I'm going to provide you counselors who will provide you wisdom as I did at the very beginning. Okay? Let's look at the judges. Let's look at the judges. No, nobody wants to be judged, but everybody needs somebody to evaluate them. I know people, they say, I don't like to go to the doctor. Well, you know, I understand. I it's not one of my favorite things to do either. But if you look at the doctor as just somebody who's looking to try and find something wrong with you, then you're going to have that opinion of them. If you go to the doctor and the doctor is the one who has gone through all of the training and the expertise, and they are looking for things that may be a threat to you so that they can be dealt with in a very early process, then you realize they're not an adversary, they're an ally. And you want an ally, being on your side. And so God says, I'm going to restore judges as at the first. People who said, thus says the Lord. And the people said, yes, Lord. He says, I'm going to give you counselors as at the beginning. I'm a golfer. I mean, golfing is my relaxation. I don't play it nearly as much as I would like to. There's too much other stuff that goes on in life. And so I play whenever it's convenient, or when family is in town, and then we make time for that. But I'm nowhere near good amateur status. I'm not professional grade. I go out there to have fun and to relax. But I know people, and they get frustrated if they don't play golf well. But those same people don't want anybody to teach them how to play golf. You know, there's a saying that practice makes perfect. It's not true. Bad practice just makes you bad more frequently. But if you have someone who comes in and says, okay, if you do this, it's going to make you better. There was a time in my golfing history where I was making adjustments that I thought were going to help my golf shot, until one day a guy said, "Why do you do that? That's causing your, you know, I thought it would make my ball come back to the middle, and instead it was making the problem worse. I needed somebody who could speak into my life." A lot of people are afraid to be real when they come to church. They're afraid to be real with their pastor. They don't want to deal with the little fire in the trash can. They want to wait until it's a five-alarm fire, when really a person, if they, you know, if they had recognized that in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom, they could have saved themselves a lot of heartache. I'm the type of person that I'm not there and going to cram my counsel down somebody else's life. I'm there willing to share it if somebody is willing to listen to it. A counselor is of no use if the person isn't teachable. And so God says to this community that says, you once knew what it was like to be just. You were a faithful city where justice prevailed. Now you need to seek justice because your past reality does not line up with your present reality. But if you will allow me, I'm going to bless you with people in your life who will be able to speak wisdom and righteousness and justice. Judges were supposed to be just, and counselors were supposed to impart wisdom. He said, I'm going to bless you with people that are going to help you navigate back to the future. You know, you once were a faithful city, and you will once again be a faithful city. It says, Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitence with righteousness. So we started off with a negative. Ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries. That was in verse number 24. In verse number 26, God talked about the restoration. How do we get back? And now he starts talking about the potential, and that is this: my people shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitence with righteousness. Now, I tell you what, you've got to have a very, very good attorney when you are guilty. Do you realize that what God accused him of, being a harlot in verse number 21, do you realize that was a death sentence? Under the old law, if anybody was caught doing that, all you got to do is look at John chapter 8, and you said the law says that we are supposed to stone this person. Well, it takes two people to be caught in the act of adultery, and they only brought to him one. It was an unjust, John chapter 8 talks about the unjust punishment that they wanted to pour out on this woman. They had let the guy go free. And, you know, it takes a special kind of advocate to be able to get you from, you were caught red-handed, you were caught on video, you were caught doing something, everybody knows that you did it. How does God get us from guilty and everybody knows it to a place where we can be redeemed with justice? It takes a loving Savior. Jesus is called our advocate. That means he stands in the court of heaven and he pleads our case. And he might not do it the way that an earthly attorney might do it. See, from what I've been told, a defense attorney never asks his client, are you guilty? Did you do this? Because if he knows that fact, he can't get up there and say before the judge, my client didn't do this. So He operates from the perspective that he didn't do this because he can't argue for innocence if he knows the guy's guilty. That's against his, responsibilities to the court. In the court of heaven, our attorney stands and says, Father, Bob Arthurs is guilty. Bob Arthurs has been guilty of lying. Bob Arthurs has been guilty of not, being faithful with his tithes and offerings in the past. God, if he's guilty of one area of the law, he's guilty of the whole thing. And I'm here to tell you today that Bob Arthurs is guilty. You say, well, that's not what I want my attorney to say. Well, he's not done yet. He says, but Father, I went and died on the cross for Bob Arthur's sin. And he asked me to forgive him of his sins, to be his savior and to be the Lord of his life and empower him to live the life that you created him to live. And I said, yes. And God, I bore his punishment. The punishment he deserved, I bore that on the cross. I paid for it with my very own life. And so, God, I'm asking in your justice for you to restore him, redeem him, and create a spirit of righteousness inside of him. He wants to do that for you too. I pray that you would ask Jesus to do that in your life. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.